Alrighty. We're praying we get right into our lesson for tonight. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for revelation knowledge, Father, you revealing things to us that we didn't know before. Father, Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us in this class. Help us to that our minds be enlightened, our eyes be open, and that we understand exactly what you want us to understand and how you want us to understand it. Thank you for every family that is represented, every ministry, not only here, but those that are watching by internet. We give you glory and honor, Father. Thank you for Apostle Thompson and the vision of this school so that all of our lives can be affected in such a greater way and impacted in such a great way. We give you all the glory, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We'll begin tonight in chapter 8. Just a note, next week are exams. So your various instructors should be getting with you to let you know the study guides. Our exam is going to be on chapter 8. Matter of fact, we're going over chapter 8 tonight, but our exam will be on chapter 8, and it will be next week. Chapter 8 begins to give us qualifications of covenant. How we know who we're supposed to be in covenant with. Who are they? How do we recognize them? How do we position ourselves? How do we position ourselves to find those that we ought to be in a covenant with? So we're going to go over some points tonight. I may finish them, may not finish them, but we're going to go over some points tonight that will help you to easily recognize those that you're supposed to be coming in covenant with. Learning how to identify those. And so if you would, go with me to 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. And the 10th verse. It's the first scripture used in our chapter, and it's an excellent scripture to start off with. It says, "Now these are the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who gave him strong support in his kingdom, together with all Israel, to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel." Now, I want you to see something here. It's very key. As the last part of this scripture, it says, according to the word of the Lord. God is always going to show you who you're supposed to be in covenant with. Always. If God hadn't shown you, I don't care how talented that person is, I don't care how much anointing they have, I don't care how much grace they have, if God has not shown you this and have not told you this person is who you're connected to, do not connect to them. Because watch this, what it says. It says at the end of that verse, according to the word of the Lord. It wasn't according to how David felt. It wasn't according to how these men felt. It was only according to the word of the Lord. As soon, you can see this pattern running throughout the Bible. You can see this pattern run throughout the Bible. You can pick a chapter. You can pick a book. But you will find this particular pattern. Every time God speaks to somebody and wants to take them to another level, the first thing God does is place them in connection with somebody that can take them there. No matter, you can go through the whole Bible and you will see that pattern. Whoever God used mightily, he always first connected them to somebody who could take them to another level. So my point for saying that is if God doesn't connect you to somebody, that relationship won't last. Elijah, God spoke to Elijah and gave Elijah three things to do. And one of the things is, he said, I want you to go and pass through this city and pick up this young man. I've already spoke to him. Talk about Elisha. So when he got there, Elisha tried to renege and say, well, let me go do this first. Let me go do this. And Elijah's first response was, what I got to do with all that? All I'm doing is following what God told me to do. What I got to do with you going to do all the rest of that stuff? My point is that whenever you're connecting to somebody, it's not about feelings. It's always about God's word. What did he speak? What did he say? You have to identify those you're to come in covenant with. If you do not identify with them, you're going to be walking around, wandering around, wondering what you're supposed to be doing. Unless we walk in these God-ordained boundaries and live honorably with each other, we can never be able to finish our assignment together. If we don't accurately come into covenant, accurate connection will become the ground rules for coming together in a covenant relationship of honor and loyalty. I'm going to say that again. Accurate connection will become the ground rules for coming together in a covenant relationship of honor and loyalty. There are several pivotal points for accurate connection. I'm going to do a lot of reading tonight because I want to make sure we go over these and the author did an excellent job. We go over these and we break each one of these down so that we understand thoroughly these seven pivotal points of connection. Because what this would do, this will help you get closer to who you're supposed to be connected to. Your pastor, whoever it is, this will help you. These seven points will help you understand and get closer. Number one, they affirm being part of each other's life. We only come into covenant with people whom we feel are part of our lives and who share the same passion and desires. We talked about this the last time we were together. It makes no sense for you to connect to somebody and you don't have the same passions that they have. It makes no sense. I gave the example. It makes no sense connecting to Apostle Thompson if you got issues with money. If you plan on having, it's all right to not understand and come to get understanding, but if you're going to refute everything that is said and you ain't planning on changing your thought process about finances, why connect? All you going to cause is frustration for yourself. We cannot join what we share no common identity and nature with. We must believe that we're all part of the same DNA, cut from the same cloth, fell from the same tree. Being of the same DNA reduces conflict and contention. It reduces conflict and contention. Why? Because we're going the same direction. We're going the same direction. It sets the base for a hope of a better future and a healthy working relationship. These affirmations. Sometimes you have to remind yourself why you're at a particular church. Remind yourself. One of the things that I saw that Abraham and a lot of those guys in the Old Testament did is whenever they had an experience with God, they would create an altar. And that altar was a reminder of what God had done at that particular moment. So whenever they got into tough spots or somebody came along trying to take them off of their pathway, they will return to those altars to remind themselves, remember, God did this. Remember, God set you on this pathway. And sometimes you may have to remind yourself, because one thing, this said me very clearly, the only weapon that Satan has against us is a lie. Is a lie. That's it. So if you're on the right path, the only thing Satan can come and do is either send somebody to try to get you off of your path. That's all he can do. He can't do anything. He'll send some situation. He'll send somebody to try to get you off of your path. That's all he can do. He can't do anything else. He can't do you no physical harm. He can't stop your success. He can't stop your increase. He can't stop any of those things. So what he does, he tries to detour you from those things. Is that making sense? So sometimes you have to remind yourself and remind everybody around you what you stand for and what you're planning on doing and who you're connected to. So therefore, the people that are around you already, I got people now, they go to different churches than I go to. Sometimes they don't believe, family members. Sometimes they don't believe the same thing I believe. So when we come together, it's automatically an unwritten rule that we don't touch certain subjects. We just don't touch certain subjects. If we going to stay in this, if we going to have happy Thanksgiving, don't bring this subject up. Because I ain't planning on moving, you ain't planning on moving, and it's going to be contention. So that's why you have to have the same DNA. Are you seeing this? So that you got to affirm, sometimes you got to remind yourself and remind the people around you of where you stand. So, especially family, so they know, hey, when we come together, let's just be friends. Let's talk about football. And let's talk about the latest pair of shoes, you know. You know, ladies pair of shoes, ladies purses, you know what I'm saying? But we're not going to get on this supernatural thing because we don't believe the same. So I'm not changed, you're not changed, so let's just have a happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas. Are you seeing this? You have to affirm those things. Secondly, their allegiance is to God-given leadership, mainly understanding the apostolic. When those guys surrounded themselves around David, they automatically understood the grace that was on David's life, the anointing that was on his life, and the agenda that God had given him. And so they surrounded him to help him accomplish that agenda. Their allegiance to God-given leadership. Are you seeing this? They recognize that God has set David above them as their shepherd and their leader. David didn't have to keep reminding them. See, this is key. Here we go. Go back to some of the basic things we talked about in class earlier. You can't be selfish. You can't have an ego. You can't have pride, because selfishness, ego, and pride will not allow you to recognize when God has set somebody above you. Will not. Now, mind you now, remember this. David was full of grace, because God had placed the grace on him. He was fully anointed, and he had an agenda from God. But it was made much easier when he was surrounded by people that believed the same thing he believed. It was much easier to come. Now, mind you, he was going to get it done. But it's much easier to get it done when he was surrounded with people that believed like he believed and believed in God-given leadership. Notice I said God-given leadership. Not self-appointed leadership. Now, what's the difference between God-given leadership and self-appointed leadership? God-given leadership will always acknowledge him and acknowledge their weaknesses. Self-appointed leadership never acknowledged their weaknesses. is always focused on them and their ideas. It's never about God's agenda. God's language may be covering it up, but it's never about his agenda. God-given leadership will always recognize him and recognize their weaknesses. So watch this. So now we're not necessarily in leadership, we're not necessarily looking for the most capable person or the most talented person or the most skillful person. What we're looking for is the most open vessel there is. I was talking to an apostle the other night, and he began to talk to me and tell me about how his pastor began to tell him some things, and how some of these other guys that was much older than him at the time began to speak into his life. And he said this one thing. He told me this one thing. He said those guys back then were true to ministry. They were true to ministry because he said they didn't know much about the Bible as I know. They don't. A lot of those guys didn't know much about the Bible as you know right now. But here's what they did have. They had a love for God and an openness to God. And so some of them guys would be so uniquely anointed that you couldn't deny the presence of God on their lives. Because they were open. That's why God used them. It wasn't because of their intelligence. It wasn't because of their skill. It wasn't because of their oration skill, their skill to be a great orator. But it was their willingness to be open to do whatever God asked them to do. And so some of us who've been in church a long time, even though we've learned more, but you got to go back and realize it was something unique about that man and woman of God back then that made them stand out among other people. Are you seeing this? Because of their openness to God. God-given leadership. God-given leadership depends on the Holy Spirit. God-given leadership depends on the moving of God, not the moving of our intelligence. See, that's one thing I realize. If a leader cannot change midstream and got to go with their program and God is trying to change it, that's a red flag already. That's a red flag already. We about to be in trouble. We about to be in trouble. Because God is not always going to go down the street. He may make a right turn sometime. He may make a left turn. He may make a U-turn. And if the leader is not willing to make those changes, then you can automatically know it's not God-given leadership. It is self-appointed leadership. You must be convinced in your spirit that God has appointed this leadership to provide, watch this, impartation and oversight concerning your life. Impartation and oversight concerning your life. If you're not willing to let that person speak into your life, why be there? If why did that woman with the sons that was getting ready to be taken in bondsman, why she ran to Elijah if she wasn't going to hear what Elijah said? And it was crazy what Elijah told her. Go borrow all the empty vessels you can find. What I'm doing this for? Look, they about to come get my sons. Borrow vessels for what? That ain't what she did. She went and borrowed the vessels. She was willing to allow Elijah to speak into her life. You must become honorable and loyal to what God has set in place. You You cannot really know if you're honoring leadership until leadership does something you don't like and you stay put. Because it's easy to go along with leadership when leadership doing everything you like to do. But it's when leadership comes in and say, no, we're not going to do it this way. It might have been your idea. You might have stayed up all night praying and got that idea. And leadership say, no, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to do it this way. The question is, can you make the adjustment? That's when you know that you are honoring the leadership that God has set in place. Thirdly, they appreciate the need for taking the relationship to the next level. Many people in church do not know how to take a relationship to the next level. Why? Because they remain casual in their relationship with the pastor all through their lives. This is why you shouldn't want to become friends per se with your leadership. See, so now it cuts out the need. Covenant, listen at me. True covenant. True kingdom, God-ordained covenant cuts out the need for brown nosing. It cuts out the need for brown nosing. Because if God has spoken to you and you get connected, God knows where you are. I don't really need pastor to speak directly to me. If I'm in the vicinity, I'm going to get it. If leadership speaks to me, I'm gonna get it. I don't have to be in the closed quarters. I don't have to be in their private times. Because if God, I believe this. Because why I believe this? Because this has happened to me. A lot of times, if you're praying and you're actually praying for the leadership and you're praying for the vision, a lot of times God will speak to you and you'll know when shifts are about to be made. So when shifts are about to be made, your heart is being prepared for the shift. So when the shift is made, when leadership steps up and say, we're going to do this next, you ain't thrown off the ship because of the right hard turn. You're not thrown off balance. Why? Because I'm in true covenant. Because I'm praying for the leadership. Because my heart is really for the agenda. I'm taking this relationship to the next level. So I don't have to become familiar with my leadership. I don't become familiar with my pastor. I don't have to go out to eat with my pastor. I don't need to get invited to his or her house. Come on, Isaac. Come on, listen to me now. I don't have to deal with those things. I don't have to be involved in those things because I'm connected. Because I'm in the vicinity. God, who placed you there? So don't he know where you at? Don't he see what you do? Isn't he the rewarder? They have a tendency to naturalize the spiritual relationship and no longer honor it in the way of maturity and spirituality. They have lost the freshness and the excitement of their relationship. Now, little side note, I do understand how that can happen sometimes. If the leader is not progressing, if the leader is not progressing and staying in the same area, it is easy to get bored. That's why you have to have a leader that's willing to push the envelope. A leader that is steady searching for God. a leader that is looking for God to do something else. As long as you have a leader that is searching for God and asking God, what else do you want to do? When you have that, then there's no reason for us to become familiar or to become casual or to bring this supernatural relationship into the natural. A casual level of friendship is insufficient for a life together towards destiny. Casual, meaning you can get one of these any day. You can get one of these relationships any day. Meaning this relationship, a casual is like, look at you. Let's use the example. Casual dress as compared to how we dress now. When you walk into a store casually dressed, you might get some attention, but you're going to get normal attention. But when you walk into a place and you're dressed and you're business dressed and your suit, dress, necktie, bow tie, whatever it may be, when you're dressed, the people who are attending give you another level of attention. Think about that. Let's bring that into our relationship, the way we feel toward a relationship toward our pastor. Are we going to just let it be casual, or are we going to let it be business? That means casual, I may show up, pastor, and I may not. I may come to the meeting and I may not, depending on what comes up. But when you get special attention paid, I'm coming. Other stuff, no matter what comes up, it's going to have to work around this. The relationship must be taken to the next level through intensity. Only then does this covenant relationship become the platform for a greater life together. Pivotal points for accurate connection. Number 4, you must arise to meet every challenge of the future together. The pivotal point for accurate connection and covenant is seen when people rise to take on the challenge of the future together with each other. See, when challenges come, that's why Gideon had to take all them people through those tests. Because God knew they were about to come up against challenges. So you can't have people who are careless, and you can't have people who are scared. It must be people who are willing and ready to rise to the challenge. It must be people that when Goliath show up, David, I'm willing to walk out there with you. David, when armies coming against you, I'm willing to walk out there with you. It's not when we get in, not when trouble arises, I'm ready to tuck my tail and run. I'm with you in a good time. When bad times come, I can't be found. Must be ready to arise to meet every challenge of the future. Now watch this. I just said this. Many do not connect accurately as they are still struggling with their own personal needs and are indulgent in their own pursuits. Pastor, I may come to the meeting depending on what comes up. As compared to, I'm planning on being there no matter what happens. Everybody else is going to have to work around this. We'll get to this later, but this takes priority. Now, let me tell you something. Satan, we talked about it earlier in class, Satan is a master at deception. And don't you find it strange that as soon as you begin to show commitment that's going to promote your life, something comes up and tries to distract you from doing it. Go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus dealt with this. Jesus dealt with this in a very accurate way. I mean, there's no figuring it out what he was talking about. Verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. Just Jesus talking. We all agree on that, right? Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Verse 27. Which of you by taking thought? Which of you by taking thought? In other words, which one of you by trying to figure your own thing out can add one cubit unto your stature? Verse 27. Let me read it again. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, how unimportant grass is, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He ain't finished. He said, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. All Jesus was saying was asking us to stay in the present moment and stay focused on what he called us to do. Because now God is going to take it. I promise you, listen to me, I've had it happen in my life. When you stay focused on what God has called you to do, where God has called you to be, when your pastor calls a meeting and you know you need to be there, and you show up there no matter what happens, when you show up, God will always, always take care of what you left on the back burner. Because 9 times out of 10, if you show up to take care of it, you ain't gonna be able to do no better than what it is already. So why take your focus and put it on something you can't change? We could take your focus and put it on something that you can change. And let God deal with what you can't change. I hope you listen to that internet. Are you seeing this? See, watch this. He said, many do not connect accurately as they are struggling with their own personal needs and are indulgent in their own pursuits. So it's impossible to accurately connect if I always got stuff coming up and I allow it to take my attention. Some stuff you just got to ignore. Let me play. Some people you just have got to ignore. Sometimes it may be your kids. Yeah. They may come up with some craziness. Look, baby, we're going to take care of this later. I'm going to do this right now. And I promise you, when you do that, God will be there when it comes time to take care of whatever they need. Are you seeing this? Because Satan is a master at deception. And the only reason why he wants to deceive us is to take our focus off of God. Watch this. Many who come in the new covenants and try to accurately collect sometimes lick their wounds of the past are not free in themselves to become available to stand alongside us to finish the assignment. Other words, sometimes I always say this. We've had a rash over, I say, over the last 25, 30 years of spiritual fathers popping up all over the place. Spiritual fathers here, spiritual father there, spiritual fathers everywhere. And so a lot of them became spiritual fathers because of the economic benefit. Because they begin to manipulate biblical principles. To give honor to whom honor is due. Jesus said this, that no matter how great I become, I can never become greater than the Father. We are to honor our mother and our father. And so a lot of them begin to set themselves up economic benefits. In other words, if the more sons and daughters I can accumulate, the more money I can get sown into my life. And so what that has led to is people who, some leaders or spiritual fathers that may have been anointed, but wasn't graced, wasn't God-given leadership. And so people get connected to that, and sometimes they get wounded because that relationship or that particular covenant started off with selfishness, ego, and pride. The one in leadership was really concerned about their pockets and not concerned about the benefit of everybody. So you have a lot of spiritual fathers that like to control. Control as compared to lead or rule. See, there's a difference between leading and ruling and controlling. You can lead and rule if we're going somewhere. But if we ain't going nowhere, it's just control. Do you see the difference? Catch that. You can lead and rule if we're going somewhere. But if we ain't going nowhere, then it's just control. And it's going to be different games of manipulation to keep you put. I have guys come to me all the time. Saying, man, I want to connect to Dr. Thompson. And I know they're nervous about connecting to Dr. Thompson because of his integrity, because of how he stands, and because there's no foolishness, no games. And so they come from a place where there were foolishness and games. And they're scared to connect because they're not sure if it's really different or if it's just the same where they come from. So the best way to do that, we covered all this earlier. The best way to do that is don't come into covenant quickly with no one. Listen. Jonathan, who remember we talked about Jonathan earlier, who gave David his armor, gave David his raw robe. Why did Jonathan come into covenant with David? Number one, because he recognized God's grace on his life. But watch this. Jonathan heard about the bear that he dealt with when watching those sheep. Jonathan heard about the lion that come and got one of the sheep, and David went and got it. But Jonathan saw him kill Goliath. So in other words, Jonathan hung around long enough to hear about what David was doing, but he hung around long enough to see it for himself. You got the